if you do something perfect and it don't work, do that mean you change what you're doing? You know, it's just small details, you know, a little communication here, a little communication there. But at the end of the day, I feel like we're doing the right things to win ball games.
Welcome to The Waggle, presented by Sport Clips, the official podcast of the Canadian Football League.
Welcome, welcome to The Waggle podcast, brought to you by the CFL and CFL.ca, brought to you by Sport Clips. And as you know, Sport Clips is all over our country. And as we celebrated beautiful Canada Day, wherever you were, we want to give you a shout out. Make sure you go and get that MVP experience. And we are literally a national program this week because I am holding down the East. I'm here in Toronto at the CFL offices, and Davis is in the West Coast, which people from the West Coast will tell you is the best coast. He's in BC. What is going on, Mr. Sanchez? Is back home.
Well, let's start with relatability. I think that's a word I think fits. And for all of those who are not exactly tech savvy and feel like they're 100 years old, sometimes I can relate because just spent an hour just trying to connect with my guy DJ here. So all of you who struggle to figure out technology, please, I'm with you. Let's hold hands and sing songs together. And I don't know, it's just I'm feeling you because I'm really struggling this morning. But thanks to our folks back in Toronto for helping get this together. And thanks for DJ for being so patient. All right. Now that we got that off our chest, DJ.
Well, listen, I think what we've learned is that you like the Waggle listeners much more than I do. Because I wouldn't have stuck around to try and figure out the audio issues or just the speakers working or not working to deliver the podcast. I would have tapped out.
This is going to be the end of our friendship. I think this really might be. I'm going to get fired and our friendship is going to be over. If there ever was one, it's going to be over.
I would have been like the Argos after the first couple drives of the CFL season. I would have been like, I'm good. I'm tapping out. That's what I would have been. But you are from the West Coast. You've got a little bit more stamina, and I started this by saying the West Coast is the best coast in terms of CFL competition thus far. That has been the case. And the first game I want your perspective on was two teams who came in undefeated, two teams who I left leaving that game saying, you know, I wouldn't be totally surprised if either of them hoist the Grey Cup. And that's Winnipeg, Edmonton. Winnipeg wins by 7 to stay undefeated. But I actually left that game feeling really good about both rosters.
Yeah, well, the numbers would, if you just looked at the stats of this game, you would have thought Edmonton won by 2 touchdowns. They had like 450 yards of offense, no turnovers, no interceptions. And Winnipeg had 200 yards passing Matt Nichols again. So that's two wins now for Winnipeg, and they have not thrown for over 200 yards in either. If you told me that, I wouldn't believe that this team was undefeated and you know, arguably the best team in the league after beating BC and Edmonton. But that's the way it is. They're finding, you know, Winnipeg is finding ways to win. You know that old cliche, all three phases, they're doing it. They're playing good defense, and of course their special teams is always good with Osh, and they're finding ways to win. But like I said, the stats, if you just looked at the stats in this game, Edmonton was 450 yards of total offense. I mean, that's you're going to win a game usually when you have numbers like that.
So there's a lot there. Let's start with the Nichols conversation because he was 13 of 21, but he's a game manager, so you don't really want him to make mistakes. 3 TDs, 1 INT, and when you look at him from where he was at this time last year, suffered the knee injury before the start of the season, didn't make an appearance until week 4 against BC. And when he started the year, he was 1 of 1 for 376, 1 TDs, but the issue was the 3 INTs. This year in his first 2 starts, 384. So the passing is not that different. He's not going to win games with
averaging
his arm.
Averaging under 200 yards passing, yes.
Yes, but 6 TDs, 1 INT. With that defense, I think that the job for Matt Nichols is you have playmakers around you, you have a great running back around you, you have a great defense on the side. We don't need you to win. For us to win games, we just need you to not lose games. And I think that's the formula for Winnipeg right now.
When I say he threw for 200 yards, that's not a knock on Matt Nichols. That's how they're winning football games. That's the way that they're drawing up. They're not asking him to, you know, what did you say? He threw 23 times. Is that right? 13 for 23. Is that what the number? Something.
13 for 21.
Right. 20. So 21 times. They're not asking him to drop back 50 times and throw the ball like Trevor Harris is. That's the way they're. That's the game plan they have, and he's executing the game plan. I don't care about the game manager stuff. When I watched them play, I actually felt like he's playing good football. So I mean, you don't always, you know, people win in different ways, and that's what these guys are doing. To me, it's impressive. I'm not looking at the numbers and think that I'm not impressed by what they do. In fact, it's the opposite. I am impressed with how they're winning, and that's, you know, because what happens when he does go for 400, you know, and they have the ability to do that. You see the playmakers now. You saw what Lucky Whitehead did. You see, you know, the addition of Chris Matthews, and you know, it potentially can be a game changer for them. But in particular, and Nelson in the return game too, Charles Nelson. He has a couple big returns, hasn't done a ton on offense, but in the return game, he looks dynamic and he's a jitterbug. And I think those Lucky Whitehead and Charles Nelson, two guys that Matt Nichols and the Bombers have not had at their disposal over the last few years. And these guys are going to make a difference when they need them. So if they continue to play great special teams, great defense, and you know they're going to have blow up games on offense, and they're going to be tough to deal with.
It's odd to say the Blue Bombers offense is explosive and their quarterback only threw 21 attempts. Like, you think of explosive as Edmonton. Harris is dropping back, throwing it 54 times in a game, but Matt Nichols, of his 200 yards passing, 155 of them went to Lucky Whitehead. And some of them were, the ball went 5, 6, 7, 10 yards in the air, and Lucky Whitehead made it an explosive play with his run after catch ability. I give the Bombers a lot of love because they take the draft serious. That's why they have good Canadians, and they're run by Canadians in the front office and on their coaching staff. But they've also got Americans right, and Nelson and Whitehead are two guys who may not necessarily be NFL talents, but they're still special talents, and that's why I think they're going to have a real, real nice time in Winnipeg in the CFL.
I agree. That was they've yet to lose, and they haven't played their best football. So that's probably a pretty good sign.
Yeah, Whitehead, 7 receptions for 155 yards and 2 touches. Maybe going to see if we can catch up to him in future weeks here on the Waggle. So stay tuned to that. There were two teams playing, and Edmonton's offense looked good. But that Winnipeg defense kept forcing them to field goal, 7 to be exact. And they had some drops, whether it's Ricky Collins, Greg Ellingson, Tavon Smith, some drops, especially late, that would have extended drives. The Winnipeg bend but don't break defense that those principles, and he's using it in Winnipeg. But I still like it. Edmonton offensively, they just weren't able to finish.
Well, yeah, you got to love what they did offensively. Massive, you know, massive numbers. Trevor Harris, like I said, 345. But the key stat there is 0 touchdowns. And that's, I mean, he also didn't turn the ball over. So that's the game. I think if you ask anybody in Edmonton, will you take, you know, 35 for 54 and you know, almost 350 passing with 0 interceptions? You will take that. I mean, it's C.J. Gable, 5 yards a carry. He almost had 100 yards, just over 80 yards rushing. I mean, they moved the ball and did what they did. Defensively, that's another story. That was, you know, if you could hold a team to under 200 yards passing, you feel good. But he did put the ball in the end zone 3 times. So that's and in the red zone, they were, I believe the Bombers were 3 for 3. In the red zone, which is a stat that is, it's obviously massive. When you get 7s instead of 3s, that's usually a difference in a football game. And they got in the end zone, in the red zone 3 times, and they scored 3 times.
So last week, I made the case that Jeremiah Masoli needs to be considered among the elite of the elite, of the top tier in the CFL, based solely on the tape that he was putting out. Now, I'm not sure if what he did this week helps my case, because Montreal's defense was on the field virtually the entire game. He went for 417, one TDs, three INTs. You're not helping me out, Jeremiah. Take care of the ball. But two rushing TDs. But the way he spread the ball around, three different Ticat receivers go for 100, and the best performance of which was Banks with seven receptions for 152 and a rushing TD and 30 rushing yards. To me, the offense that looks just as scary and just as balanced, more importantly, as Edmonton's in the CFL, is the Tiger Cats. I know it was against Montreal, but they look scary after a couple weeks of football.
Well, they have a point guard running the offense up and down the floor in Jeremiah Masoli. They're always going to be in every game because of that. They're always going to be dangerous because of that, and that's the style of football they play. He's gonna turn the ball over. He's got three picks. He's gonna turn the ball over because that's the style they play. He tries to fit it into windows. He makes something out of nothing, and those are the plays that you wow over. But they're also going to be, at times he's going to turn the ball over. But I think you can live with that. With what he gives you on the upside, you're going to live with that.
So I love to look at the championship droughts and look at the fan bases. They're really yearning for a parade, really need a ring. And in the West, that would be Winnipeg. In the East, to me, it's Hamilton. They've been close, been to a couple Grey Cups, didn't get over the hump, and they've kind of fallen back a little bit in recent years. They start 3-0, and already people are saying, man, Grey Cup might be coming to Hess Village. Let's go. Previous three times they finished, they started 3-0. They finished above 500 only once. Is it a little too early to say, the East is ours, we have as good a shot as anybody to win the Grey Cup in Hamilton?
As good a shot of anybody? No, I don't think. I think you have the lead of getting out of the East right now. I think that's fair to say. And actually, as good of a chance as anybody. Yeah, okay. I would say, I wouldn't say they have they're the leader to win the Grey Cup at this point in time, but as good a chance as anybody. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. But I mean, there's probably, three teams that we can say that about. And then, guys were talking last week about that, prematurely saying this is the best team when you say Winnipeg is the best team in the league right now. Or you say the conversation before the game that Edmonton and Winnipeg are the best. Or whatever, however you want to spin it, it is what it is after three weeks of football. It is what it is. But Hamilton has been, they've been as impressive as that's what we all expected. It is.
And again, I might be grading them a bit on a curve. I'm not really sure what to make of the last 2 weeks. In Toronto, which was virtually a home game with the amount of black and gold at BMO Field, then you're hosting Montreal, who has some issues at the quarterback position and some health issues at the quarterback position, or just an issue keeping their quarterbacks upright. Thus, their offense was on the field for the entire game. And you could really live with the fact that Masoli threw three picks because he was getting the ball back in three or four plays to try and do things over. It was an exaggerated punt at that point. I do think if the Grey Cup is going to come back east, it probably will be, as much as I'm going to be hearing this, I think it will be with Hamilton, because the team that recently won it out of the East, the Argos, who I thought was going to have a real bounce back year, not so much the case. The 2 hour rain delay may have been more exciting than their offensive football. I love that Milt was crowd surfing. I love that Rod was getting the crowd to get riled up and to cheer. And I was surprised to see Milt put on a Rough Riders jersey, but the way that they were playing on offense, I don't blame a former receiver for wanting to play in that offense. In the year of backups, just stepping up and being big-name players, shoot your shot, Cody Fajardo, 24 of 31 for 430, three TDs and a rushing TD. He looked like he was going to go for 300 in the first half alone. Gets his first win as a Rough Rider on Canada Day in front of that crazy crowd. He had more passing yards, Davis, in this game than he had in his first three seasons combined. And now all of a sudden people are looking around saying, when Zach Kolaros going to be back? They're saying, oh, we may have found something in this journeyman quarterback.
All it takes is for something to click, you know, and it's, you see it in guys over the years. There's a one moment where something seems to click. And I think I feel like that's happened for Cody Fajardo. It seemed to click for him. He's confident. He's back there. I think he knows what he does well, and he knows, you know, the offensive coordinator, Steve McAdoo, is gets him on the move. He's active. He's not just a drop back guy. He's getting him on the move. He's throwing on the run. They're getting William Powell involved. They're using their playmakers in space. I think they're doing what they need to do to have Cody Fajardo at his best. And I think, no, that's he's the massive numbers, 430. And he was 430, but he was 77% completion percentage, which is an impressive 430 with a long of 100 yards, 98 yards to Kyron Moore. So they're doing their thing. It's hard to know what defensively what that means. I think if you shut down any CFL team, you have to get credit for that, regardless if it's the Argos who are struggling mightily. You still have to give credit to the Riders' defense, but that's all three phases of the game is pretty good for these guys on Canada Day and at home. That's got to feel good regardless of who you play.
I think you also have to give credit to Steve McAdoo, someone who, if we're being frank, there were questions about because of the fact that their offense was not very prolific a year ago. There was questions about him this season and beyond being a fit calling plays in Ryderville. And with you start the season, you lose your starter, the guy who you've given all of the reps to get ready. You've got a guy who hasn't played a lot in the league and hasn't played a lot on your team or in your system. And in his first two starts, he goes 51 for 65, which is 78.5 completion percentage, better than my average in any grade of high school. 790 yards, four TDs, zero interceptions, and two touches as a rusher. Cody deserves a lot of credit, obviously, but you made the point. He's been put in positions to win offensively, and that goes to McAdoo.
Yeah, he has been a coordinator that has got his fair share of criticism, so it's only fair that when you look at an offense that's probably undermanned, and especially at the quarterback spot, Cody Fajardo hasn't had success anywhere else. So it's fair to give a guy, Steve McAdoo, credit for that. He's done it, and I believe it's Steve Walsh as well, the quarterback coach. I think you got to give those guys credit for getting Cody Fajardo in, like I said, in a position where he could be successful, and that's a good coach. A good coach is somebody that, you know, takes what he has and makes the most of it and puts them in position to be successful. And they're doing that in Sask, and that's with that defense, they have a chance. And that, you know, they have Thigpen, they have Shaq Evans, they have playmakers who can Kyron Moore, obviously. They have guys, even Christian Jones. They have guys that are dynamic and are playmakers. If you have Fajardo playing at this level with that defense's potential, I think that's they kind of feel pretty good. When it seemed like doomsday when Zach went down, and that's now you got to be feeling optimistic about the potential, the possibilities.
And in that defense specifically, and that pass rush, both interior and on the outside, if you give them a little bit of lead where the offense that they're facing is a bit more predictable, you know they're going to be passing early, they can just pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. That defensive line is scary, man.
Yeah, I think any team at home that gets a lead is tough. But they have, you know, those, to your point, those guys have have guys that get after the quarterback.
So if we are going to give out some credit, we should give out some blame. Can't be totally hater-free on this podcast. I want your perspective on this because you're a defensive back. You've played in the backfield, and you specialize by being able to lock people up, man-to-man. I'm in your hip. Where are we going? I'll follow you all over the field. I'll lock down this side of the field so the coordinators don't have to worry. Are the Argos a man-to-man secondary? Do they have the athletes, the ability to play man-to-man? Because they're trying, and it's not working. I'm seeing a lot of cover one. I'm seeing a lot of guys on an island, and they're not winning at the top of the route. So is it personnel? Is it scheme? Is it both? Do after two beatdowns, do you have to have a conversation with your front office and say, these are the types of players I need via CFL cuts or just people sitting at home on their couch, because this is not working?
I could look at the roster. I could look across the board, and there's guys on that roster, speaking Abdul Kane, Kadarius Ford, who I think has some of the best feet and hips of all the DBs in the league, although young and still learning the position. Kevin Fogg, a veteran with cover skills, instincts, and understands the game. I like Jermaine Washington. I mean, there's Jermaine Gabriel. There's guys in that back end that I can cover. So to answer your question, I think every team is capable of playing man coverage. Capable is one thing, and the other is leaving guys out there for long periods of time without pass rush. I mean, I don't think there's any team in the league, the way the rules are now, that can play man coverage consistently. That's not the way the league is anymore. It's cover four, it's different versions of cover four, it's match, this is what we're seeing. Two man. We don't see a ton of man coverage unless it's blitz. And that's where we go to the front seven, particularly the D line of the Argos, all work in conjunction. Are they getting there? So they can play man coverage, this group, if the D line can get pressure. And I also have trust in Corey Chamberlain. He's a defensive back guy. He has been his whole career. He played defensive back. He was a defensive back coach. And I know he understands technique and knows how to teach these guys. When you have, you know, some good athletes back there, there's no doubt about that. And Corey Chamberlain will teach the technique and have them playing the right way. So I think they can play man-to-man just as well as everyone else. Have they? Not. And they haven't. And they also haven't tackled very well.
Well, I think Craig Dickinson knows who he is. He knows who his team is. They already have an identity. He gets his first win as a head coach. And guess what he gets next? He gets to face his brother next week. And that's the matchup this week that I've got circled. And the coaching standpoint is interesting. That narrative is great for us in the media. But I also just think in terms of athletes, like if you just took two teams and put them through a combine, I think a lot of the guys who would test out the best are on these two rosters. We've seen a lot of explosive plays from those teams already. And before we talk about Calgary and their game with BC, we have had a lot of fast plays this week. Calgary turned the game on a dime, which is a good segue to give shout out to our partners at Tums. Because when heartburn hits, hit back fast and hard, or just like you're at a combine, you want to be fast and hard. Do that with Tums. Get relief. Tums fast. Calgary came back. Tums fast. 36-32 in a game where I thought BC had everything under control. Mike Riley goes 36-42 for 354. Two TDs passing, one rushing. This was supposed to be his breaking out party. And Nick Arbuckle of our people said, nah, I've got my own ideas. Great story. A kid cut from BC in mini camp last year. Not training camp, mini camp, which allowed him to be in Calgary for training camp, makes the team, gets a big spot, and makes BC wish that they didn't cut him. Great story out of Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, he came in the game. The MOP leads the game. You're trailing, and a guy with little to no experience comes in, leads you back for a win. I mean, yeah, so that's, of course, it's a great story. We all want to see Bo Levi Mitchell back. You want your best players to be out there from a standpoint of your your fans from the standpoint of winning games, for the league in general. We hope that the Bulls healthy, and then we might get some more of that those questions answered. You know, by the time this pod is out, or this week, but for now, it's gonna be Nick Arbuckle, and the Calgary Stampeders are not the defensive juggernaut that they have been previously. So for them to win, they're gonna have to score 30. I think they're gonna have to score 30 points a game, and that doesn't mean that defense can't play, but that's just, I mean, that's what teams are scoring. They're scoring in the high 20s and 30s, and Calgary's not going to have shut people out to 10 points and the type of numbers that they were doing in the last few years with that defense. So from that standpoint, we're going to get to see just what Nick Arbuckle has, because he's going to, for them to win, that's what's going to have to happen. It was amazing what he did. 9 for 9, a touchdown, led the team back, like you said, against the team that cut him. And he let TSN's Jermaine Franklin know that in the interview post game. It was it's a great story. And it was, you know, this seems, you know, you look at Fajardo, you look at Dom Davis, and now you look what Arbuckle did. And those are all good things for the league to have these young quarterbacks to show some promise. Well, you know, the league is only as good as the quarterback position. So it can only be positive to see. And you could add Chris Streveler to that mix as well.
I mean, I feel for fans of Montreal, fans in Toronto who are trying to figure out the quarterback situation. Then you're seeing these guys who are backups that no one was really checking for. Dom Davis, Nick Arbuckle, Cody Fajardo, just playing and playing well, playing lights out. And Arbuckle is a guy who, okay, guess what? You get to face a defense that had a lot of money spent on it in the offseason. You're down 11 with under 4 minutes left. Let's see what you got. And you're replacing the guy who many people think is the best quarterback in the league. And the guy you're going head-to-head with is the other guy who is in the conversation for best quarterback in the league. And all you do is go 9 for 9 for 93 yards, one TD passing and one TD rushing. Like, that's your welcome party into the league. Have yourself a game. Coming into this game, he only attempted 25 career passes. But this is so Huffnagel to have a guy on layaway that just comes in and plays lights out at the quarterback position.
So Huffnagel. Are we going to coin that phrase, so Huffnagel?
Yes, it is so Huffnagel.
They do a good job with their quarterbacks, and like you said, he's you know, from Henry and Drew and Bo, and you could probably go further back than that. But yeah, they've done it. And Dave obviously has a whole lot to do with that, being an ex quarterback and a great coach. I think it's, you know, and they've given most of these guys an opportunity to grow within the system, which is key. I mean, we always say it. It's only Ricky Ray's the only one that I can think of in the last decade or so that has just come right in right away and had success at quarterback. Most guys have had all the best ones that you look at, the Rileys, the Bows, the Masolis, the Trevor Harris, go around the league. All these guys have had a chance to come in, watch, learn, and then become the quarterbacks they are today. And Calgary's done a good job at allowing these guys to mature.
Well, but how many times have we seen this happen where there's been an injury in Calgary or wherever Huff has been, and someone stepped up as a replacement, whether it was Henry Burris, whether it was Drew Tate, whether it was Bo Levi Mitchell. And now Bo Levi Mitchell is a guy who had an okay game, two TDs on 252 yards passing through an INT. But the real question is his health. Originally thought it was a shoulder, was untouched, but it's actually a pectoral issue. Having the ultrasound today, in full disclosure, we're taping this on Tuesday, so the reports on how he's doing and how long he may be out may have come out, you know, as you're listening to this. But more importantly, this is a guy who's an MOP in two of the last three seasons. He won the Grey Cup in two of the last five. He's thrown for 4,000 yards in each of the last four. Any way you shake it, he is one of the premier players in our league. So certainly Arbuckle playing well is nice, but in Calgary, everyone has to be refreshing to see what is the health situation with Bo Levi Mitchell.
Yes, like I mentioned earlier, and like you said, Bo is a star in the league. Calgary wants him to be out there. The league wants him to be out there. Arbuckle is a good story, and this is a team that's not built like they have been previously, where they're going to shut teams out. So they're going to have, if Bo is out, like you mentioned, we'll find out shortly. If he's out, they're going to have to score, and they're going to have to put up points in order to. They obviously haven't started the season off very well. That's a huge win for them to get that, which is a game they probably should have lost. But they're going to have to score some points to keep up.
Yeah, there's no question. There's two different changes when you go from backup coming into someone who is starting a game. I mean, one, you get more reps, you get more comfortable, and there's a game plan put in around you. But also, that defense gets to scheme around you, gets to put in a game plan around you and try to take away the throws that make you comfortable. And so that can go one of two ways. Hopefully, as good as Arbuckle played, we aren't watching a lot of Stampeders football without Bo Levi Mitchell playing. BC, though, we know who's playing quarterback for them. It'll be Mike Riley. Not the start they're looking for. A league worst 0-3. One thing about BC, when you look at the guys in their locker room, Mike Riley, Daron Carter, Grimes, Odell Willis, from their front office to Ed Hervey, to their coaching staff and Clay Brooks, nobody lacks confidence on that team. Like that is a group of like 50 to 60 peacocks on their sideline. And so they're not going to overreact and get too upset about them struggling a bit out of the gate. But really, there still seem to be a team trying to find themselves and trying to connect. And for three out of four quarters, they looked like they had found themselves. They looked like they were that elite team that everyone thought that they were in the offseason. But football is not fantasy football. You have to see it on paper. You are seeing it with your own eyes. You're going to be there talking to the guys at practice. What have you seen this week that really interested you, that really made you go, Arsenio style?
Brian Burnham. I knew he was good. I know how clutch he is. I know what a gamer he is. Great hands. Toughness, all those things. But when I watched what a Swiss Army knife he is in that offense, when I watched him coming down the line, wham blocking, which is an inside run where the receiver comes in on the outside and essentially is a lead blocker in the run game, or at least responsible for taking out the defensive end, which is usually a 280-pound man, and doing that willingly, and then the next play he's down vertically, elastic man jumping over someone with great athleticism. That combination is rare. He's dependable. He makes big plays in big situations, which we've seen over time. I made the statement last week that Darrell Walker was the best receiver in the league, and when it comes to running routes, and I agree. I stand by that. But I also am able, with humility, to look back and maybe second guess my thoughts at times. And this is one of those. And it's because all the other stuff that I saw Burnham doing on the field, across the middle, speed sweeps. That's not his skill set, really, the speed sweep, but he's the best they have at doing this right now. So he's doing it. Should he be in there blocking when he's their best deep threat? No, but he is. So anyway, Brian Burnham, to me, I'm going to put him up there in the conversation as the number one guy in the league now because of all he does.
It's funny because if you asked a quarterback, who would you rather have? They would say Darrell Walker. He makes my life easy. He gives me easy reads, and he'll make some bad throws into receptions. I think if you ask a coordinator who would you rather have, I think they might say Burnham because he's assignment correct. He's helping me in the intermediate game, in the deep game, and he's helping me in the run game. And I can move him around. I can have him play X. I can have him play Y. I can have him on the boundary side, the wide side. I can have him in the slot. but you have to go. Maybe you should take Odell and Burnham out for a little treat on you. Take them sport clips. Get them cleaned up for their next game. Get them a fresh start the way Mike Riley did. Maybe take them to that MVP experience at Sport Clips that I know you are going to indulge in, even though you're on the West Coast, because you know you can book on the app. You can go to the website and figure out where the nearest Sport Clips is to you, whether it's Sport Clips website or whether you go to the cfl.ca/thewaggle for all of the promotions that you need to get a cut on us for free. Davis, enjoy the West Coast. Enjoy Sport Clips. Enjoy the company of Odell Willis, which is coming up right now on the Waggle.
This week's guest, CFL vet, all-star OG, 98 sacks, looking for two more. Who do you want to get? Well, let's introduce you first. Odell Willis, who do you want to get your 100th sack off? There got to be an old lineman you just love to give it to for that 100th sack.
Man, long as God just blessed me to get them 100 sacks, I mean, I don't care who I get it against. I mean, I done been against so many old linemen, I don't even count them no more. I just rather count the sack and get there, so... Whoever I get to 100 on, I'm just going to be blessed to have it.
Pretty sure there's a quarterback I'd rather pick off just because we had lots of battles with each other. It would be kind of fun to pick him off. But not a guy, not an O-line, at least you've had some battles with over the years. Maybe a Van Ziel, you've had battles with him. You've had maybe a Derek Dennis, a Stan Bryan, some guys you battle with it would be nice to get with.
I mean, you know, those guys. I mean, Dennis, he all right. You know what I'm saying? He hold it down for what they do. I mean, and, you know, Stanley, like I said, me and Stanley done had our battles, like I said, but that's...
You really don't care. You really don't care.
I really don't care because, like I said, I mean, it ain't how it used to be when I first came in the CFL where old linemen were just outright... You don't have no more Rob Murphys, you know what I'm saying? You don't have no more Jimenez's. So it's like, I just want to get the sack. So
you've been able to have a career, a great career, potentially a Hall of Fame career. A lot of this is due to what? What do you think has made Odell Willis a special player other than your natural abilities? What do you think has allowed you to have such a lengthy and great career in this league?
For one, I'm always healthy. I mean, only time I've missed a game due to injury, I separated my shoulders. I was out for 2 weeks, and it ran into a bye week, so I was lucky not to miss three. But I only missed two games due to injury, and all the other games I missed were because we have playoffs, we got things locked up. So I didn't
time out. You've only missed – this is year 13?
11.
11, okay. So you've only missed – 2 weeks for due to injury over your as a defensive end in this league. You've only missed 2 weeks due to injury. The rest have been because of playoffs or resting or things like that. I had no idea.
Yeah, so like I said, I mean, that's, like I said, it's just, I'm just blessed, man. Like I said, I do the things I need to do to take care of my body, which, you know, that's what we're here for. And it's, I mean, we all as athletes know what to do to take care of our body, but it's those athletes – that do it the most. Are you going to do it 70%, 80%, 90%? I mean, because you have any athlete that's been around, what you need to do to this, or I might need to stretch, or I might need to coach, or I might need to do this. They know, but it's like in your mind, are you going to do that? I mean, I know I got to get in the cold tub, but I may not feel like it today. But that decision, being going to that cold tub, going to keep me around an extra day, an extra week, an extra year. So, like I said, I mean, and then, like I said, I work out. I watch what I put in my body, and like I said, I just give thanks because, like I said, I mean, for me to play where I play at and to only miss two games because of injury, I mean, all praise to the Most High, man. That's really all I could give to.
And playing a position that is not – defensive ends don't last that long, and especially American defensive end. I could probably count on my hand guys have been around this long. So let's go just quickly into what's transpired so far. Are people overreacting to an 0-3 start? What's it like for – you've been through it all in this league. And so what is what's the thought process for a guy like you? What do you tell young guys if they start to waver or second-guess what's happening here? You start 0-3. What's the thought process here at 0-3?
Hey, just keep going to work. Just keep going to work. Because my, I always looked at it like this. I learned because my mom was a coach. So, you know, I always was coach, even though I would be getting this stuff around the house. So she was always coach me. And the one thing she always taught me was, if you do something perfect and it don't work, do that mean you change what you're doing? So, you know, for us to be 0-3, I mean, I feel like we still doing what we need to do. You know, it's just small details, you know, a little communication here, a little communication there. But at the end of the day, I feel like we're doing the right things to win ball games. I mean, just because we ain't winning, that don't mean we need to, you know, we need to tell Ed.
Reinvent the wheel?
You can't reinvent the wheel. It's always going to be around. So, I mean, Ed is not finna go out and just get some players that's going to change it in a week. We're not just finna rechange our whole scheme within a week or something.
Let me go there then to that, because we talked about this a bit off the record or before practice. We were chatting a bit, and that was my question is, you talk about Ed going out and getting guys. Do you think, because a lot of people have said, experts or so-called experts, they feel like maybe that front seven is not talented enough. Is your front seven? Do you feel like you've been around a lot of good ones? Do you feel like this is a talented group? What you have and why?
I mean, yes, I feel like it's a talented group because I mean, at the beginning of the year last year, they said the same thing about the group. We was 3-6. You know, we was 3-6 and we ended up making the playoffs. So in this league, you just can't really just jump the gun. That's like I said, that's for the fans and you guys to, you know, do the analysis on. But you know, when it comes down to the day, everybody already know we got 15 games left. And if, you know what I'm saying, if we going to judge us off these three games, I mean, you feel free. That's your opinion. But at the end of the day, we know what we're trying to do, and we know what can be done. 0-5 in 2011 and beat me in the Grey Cup. You know what I'm saying? So this the CFL. You're never not out. Only thing about our situation is that we in the West. And everybody know the West is a gun show. No disrespect to the East. That's just what it is. I mean, we beat each other up and lump into the Grey Cup against the East team. That's just what it is. I ain't slacking nobody. But, you know, 0-5 to an 11. I mean, 0-5 to a Grey Cup last year, 3-6 to a playoff. So, I mean, people could jump to conclusions. Oh, if they want to jump to a conclusion, tell me what front seven is dominant right now after three games that just – gonna continue to dominate for the rest of the year. Don't give me a front 7-9 that's hot. I want the front 7-9 that you think gonna dominate to the end of the year.
Well, I'll tell you who your ex coach Demetrius Maxey. He said that's the best. He was talking about his D line, not anybody else. But he said that's the best defensive line in the league. Is that there's one D line that people think are pretty darn good. And I would say Winnipeg is probably another one I think that consistently you hear people talk about as the best ones in the league so far.
Hey, but at the end of the day, we can just keep it funky like I do. You can kiss their butt now, but when week 12, week 13, they ain't doing nothing. I want y'all to keep that same energy. I want y'all to keep praising them. And then once teams get hot, I don't want y'all to say nothing about, well, it just took time for those guys. I don't want to hear none of that from nobody, none of the people on the panel, because it's the same crap every year. It's like they jump on what's hot. But, again, you got to understand that's what media people do, like, and that's their job. So you really just can't get mad. You just want them to keep the same energy, and you want them to keep that same energy with the people they ride with now. Until the end of the season. So once who they pick nine, they
so
think.
We're stuck. So we're stuck with who we like right away. You got to stick with them. Yeah, I don't think that's how it works. I think we're allowed to have analysis as the year goes on and change your opinion as teams change, our opinions might change.
You're allowed to do that. But a lot of y'all like to ride with the same ones. Because just say, for instance, I'm a prime example. Last year, I got hired early. Oh, it's new day. Why is new day? I've been doing this. Ain't nothing new about what I've been kicking tackles, O-lineman tail getting to the quarterback. So what is it new? Milk came new day and everybody running with it. This ain't new day. This is old day. OG. I've been doing this. Ain't nothing new. You bring somebody out there that don't know what they're doing, I'm going to give it to them. We want all the smoke. So it ain't about, you know what I'm saying, what's going on right now. It's about – you know, once you get hot, it's over with. You know that. We all know that. And like I say, we just want people to keep that same energy. If you don't believe in us now, don't believe in us when we get hot. Because right now, I feel like we the scariest 0-3 team. Don't nobody want to see us.
Okay, so why at 0-3, why is this team scarier than other 0-3 teams? Your results are what they are. I would agree you guys are talented. Now, I've said this on the record. You talk about the guys who us media members who are jumping on other teams, but I have said I said this week, I'm not worried about this team is 0-3 because from a talent standpoint, you guys have the talent. But you mentioned Milt's name. Milt said it already. You can't say that a team. Milt actually went on and said that we can't say that Winnipeg is the best team in the league right now, or Edmonton is the best team in the league right now after 3 weeks. But if you have to give an opinion, or that you have to give an opinion of some team.
Y'all most definitely entitled to the opinion. But only thing I get just a little frustrated with you media guys with is that you guys are ex-players in this league. Y'all know how this league go. Right. So sometimes I be wanting to be like, yo, just keep it funky. Y'all know what's up. And then other times I understand like, okay, y'all have to give y'all oversight. But deep down, keep it like Shaq and Ken and them on. Keep that all the way fun, because y'all know how this league go. And like I said, I don't have no gripe or beef with the media or nothing like that. It's just, come on, keep it a little more transparent than what it is, because y'all know, like,
We said it at this point, it's three games. Like, yeah. There's no overreacting. There's no – but we're talking about – I know what you're saying. At three games – the crown, you're not going to crown anybody, but we can go with who's looking good right now through the game, because that's what we're supposed to do. And then after 4 weeks, we do the same thing.
That's totally agreeable.
Question now, since we're talking about media and keeping it funky and everything else, your job post-football, a GM, a head coach, or a media? You get those three offers. Which one does Odell Willis want to do?
Me, I want to come to the panel. I want to be on the panel. I don't want to do none of the side. I mean, I know you got to cry before you walk, but I want to come on the panel. I want to be sitting on the end of the thing like Shaq or Charles Barkley. And if that don't happen, I want to go to scouting, because I know a lot of kids just around in the southern area just off, you know, they don't know. They always think it's NFL, 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 which I was one of those kids. I didn't know nothing about the CFL until Chris Jones called me 3 days after Christmas talking about come work out, and I was like, hi, I mean, it's in another country, you know, I don't know too much. So I would think I'd rather go into scouting, or if I can't go on the panel right away, I think I'd rather go into scouting, because as a coach, you can still get fussed at, but you can't do nothing about it.
Well, from a media standpoint, you have my endorsement 100%. You already told me you were going to take my job 2 years ago. I think you told me you were coming.
Jock. I wanted Jock. Jock. He got a lawyer degree. He don't need to be on the panel. He can go be a lawyer and make some good money. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got my endorsement to come join us on the panel all day. Great guy that's been around this league a long time, a great ambassador of the league, a great player, and a great personality. Coming into Toronto this week, good luck. Oh, I know you got to run off to a meeting. We appreciate you joining us on the Waggle this week, and good luck moving forward.
Appreciate y'all, man. Appreciate y'all for having me. Like I say, thanks CFL fans for tuning in. You know, it was good chopping it up with a guy I done played against. You know, now he's interviewing me. So, hey, y'all just keep tuning in all year round, and hopefully by November, you'll see the BC Lions on top.
98 sacks, looking for 100. Won't tell us who he's going to get his 100th off, but he's looking. Two more sacks. Odell Willis this week on The Waggle.